It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The success of the Harry Potter books proved adults and children can enjoy the same literature. Jonathan Auxier's lifelong love of children's books has turned into a career as an author writing for readers ages 8 to 14. Jonathan Auxier joins us now in Studio A for a conversation about the challenges and rewards of writing for the younger set. Jonathan, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
How did you get involved in writing books for children?
That's a great question. I sort of had a roundabout route. I always wanted to be a storyteller since I was very, very young, and that's taken a variety of different forms. At one point, I thought I wanted to draw comics or make movies, and I actually, when I got to university, I started pretty seriously studying playwriting, and many years ago, I went and got my MFA in playwriting from Carnegie Mellon. And sort of it was while doing that that I realized I was a pretty lousy playwright. And so I shifted again trying to find sort of the right medium for myself, and I switched into screenwriting. And again, it wasn't quite the fit I wanted, even as I was kind of making it work. And the whole time in the back of my mind, there was children's books, which have been kind of my lifelong passion. I've been a collector of children's books. I started seriously collecting when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I started, I had a special shelf for, my favorite authors. I wanted a hardcover copy of each of their books. And that's something that had always been with me. And so finally, when I kind of hit a point where I went, well, if I love storytelling and I've gotten all of these tools and skills for storytelling in various mediums that I've worked in, if I could do anything, what would it be? And that the answer was pretty obvious, and it was children's literature.
How do you know that you're a lousy playwright? Is that just people telling you, hey, this is lousy?
I think, the old thing they say, fail better, as sort of the creative process. For me, I was noticing that I wasn't failing better. I was just failing again and again. But more to the point, I think what really came down to is I realized I wasn't the ideal audience. And that's what was happening to me again and again as I was working in various mediums, is I realized even as I worked at it and even as I would get some skill and some success in various storytelling mediums, I realized I was always thinking about the reader or the audience or the viewer as someone other than myself, because I didn't fully identify with that group of people. And that was different with children's books, because I was – even as an adult, you mentioned Harry Potter, which is a perfect example of how Harry Potter did so much work to socialize and normalize the concept of adults reading children's books, which had sort of fallen to the wayside in the 20th century. But for me as an adult, I had read children's books my entire life. I continued to read them into adulthood. I felt like I was the reader of children's books. And so if I wrote it, then I'd really get to be writing for myself in a way that I had never done before.
What was a book that you read as a child that you really liked, that just grabbed you?
Well, there's a lot of them. One of the things I love is how children's books kind of stick in people's hearts and minds. And when you talk to adults about their favorite books, if you get them to list 10, guarantee you at least one of those will be a children's book, and chances are a lot more of those. For me, there were a lot, but probably one of the more pivotal moments for me as a reader is when I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I read Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland, for the very first time. And anyone who's read that book knows it does have a very different sensibility than, say, the Walt Disney movie. And it's, the book is, it's very rough around the edges in a lot of ways, but it's also got these kind of wonderful, bright, vivid characters, and also a lot of language play and word play and kind of word games going on and puzzles. And I, as a kid, just fell in love with that book in a way that I still don't to this day understand. But after reading it once, I kept reading Alice in Wonderland and also the sequel, Through the Looking Glass, pretty much every single night for the next 12 or 13 years. I kept a copy on my bedstand, and I would just read a chapter every night. So that's probably the most important book for me.
We're talking with Jonathan Auxier, who is a Pittsburgh-based writer of children's books. The book you have published is called Peter Nimble and the Fantastic Eyes. Tell us about the story here.
Yeah, so Peter Nimble and his Fantastic Eyes is a story of a small blind orphan who also happens to be the greatest thief who ever lived. So he can smell gold in a rich man's pocket. He can hear a guard's heartbeat around the corner. His touch is so delicate he can slip his fingers into keyholes and open any lock. And sort of the core of the story really heats up when Peter manages to steal this unusual treasure one day. And at first it seems very ordinary. It's a little plain wooden box. But when he manages to steal it and he gets it home and he opens it, he discovers that it doesn't contain jewels or money or anything that he was expecting. Instead, what it contains are eyes. Three pairs of eyes. One pair is gold, one pair is black, and one pair is emerald green. And these are the fantastic eyes, he learns, and he figures out that when he puts them in his sockets, they each give him these sort of amazing, fantastic powers. And that launches him on this giant adventure where he kind of goes from being this miserable little thief to something more, to becoming a hero.
And you also have a book that is coming out.
Yes.
Hasn't been published yet, but tell us about that one.
So my brand new book is called The Night Gardener. The Night Gardener is sort of a it's coming out this May. It's a Victorian haunted house story in the tradition of like Washington Irving or maybe Henry James. And it's the story of two Irish siblings who are fleeing the Great Famine. And they stumble upon this mysterious ancient tree that seems to be able to grant them their heart's desires, but only at a very deadly price. So it's kind of a careful what you wish for, a spooky story.
It's interesting because, I mean, this story could have been inspired in a Pittsburgh setting, but you are originally, as some folks might be able to tell from your accent, that you're from Canada, and it turns out Vancouver.
Yes.
Which is a really, I mean, that could be a setting for all kinds of stories because it's on the ocean, but it's an older city in many ways. It has some modern things, but also some old traditional neighborhoods there, and there's sort of that whole seaside mentality that goes along with it too. How much does that come into play for you as a writer?
You know, it's ironic that you bring that up as sort of geography-inspiring stories because yeah, I grew up in Vancouver, and Vancouver, like everywhere in the West, even some of the older cities like Vancouver, really they are very young. It's a glass and concrete city more than, you know, bricks and stone, and it wasn't until actually about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I came to Pittsburgh for graduate school that I had ever spent any time in a city that was older than me or felt that way, and I was incredibly enchanted by the geography of Pittsburgh and specifically the East End, and sort of there's a real romance to, I know we grumble about the crumbling infrastructure, but there's a real beauty to it as well. And both of these books, actually the original inspiration for them came while I was in graduate school here. And I really credit Pittsburgh as being sort of a place that inspired these stories. And years, you know, I moved away after that and pursued a career on the West Coast, but Pittsburgh sort of stuck in my mind as a very fertile ground for storytelling and really atmospheric environments.
What are the biggest challenges of writing for children?
You know, that's a really good question. I think there are a couple things. You know, all this with the caveat that this is a super fun job, so it's all great. But I think there's one of the really unique challenges of writing for children. Is that your buyer, not to get too crass, but your buyer is different than your audience. Children's books are read by kids, obviously, but kids don't have any money. It's parents who buy books, librarians and teachers and all of these sort of tastemakers and guardians around them. And I find it both very challenging but also really invigorating to meet that challenge of trying to write a story that these gatekeepers, these adults will love, but also that a child will love. It's dangerous to err on either side too much.
Right.
And striking the balance is really tricky.
Well, and the other balance that you strike is when you say you're writing for readers aged 8 to 14, there's a big difference between an 8-year-old reader and a 14-year-old reader. So how do you bridge that gap?
That's a really good question. You know, well, in that instance, some of that is, you know, marketing decisions. But I cast my net pretty broadly when I tell stories, in part because I think kids at different ages are at different places. One of the beautiful things about, say, the tradition and practice of reading aloud to a child is not only is that good, you know, parent-child time, but it's also an opportunity to expose children to stories that are above their reading level. So in the instance of Peter Nimble, the book is actually fairly dense on a word level. It's got very complicated language structure. I was actually working out of a tradition of like the you know, 18th century neoclassical writers like Samuel Johnson or Swift or people like that. But the story itself has a very childlike sensibility, and I love mixing that. To me, you know, I mean, The Hobbit is a perfect example. It's spoken in this very high language, but there's a lot of fun and silliness and play in that narrative, and I think that lets the reader meet it where they're able to. And to me, I agree that it is a wide gap, but that's one of those fun challenges.
And who are your favorite contemporary authors?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. One of the joys of publishing kids' books is I actually get to hang out with and befriend all of these authors I've admired at a distance for a long time. Right now, I'm very excited about actually an author that I grew up with who's still publishing wonderful books. His name is Jerry Spinelli. He's actually out in eastern Pennsylvania. And he wrote a book called Maniac McGee that was hugely successful right when I was in fifth grade, I think. I was the target reader, and it's just a spectacular book, and has really made an impact on the canon. And then in the intervening years, as I grew up, you know, he was writing other things and people liked them. They were very successful. But just in 2013, he wrote a new book that was called Hokey Pokey, which was sort of this bizarre, almost recreation of Neverland, the space where kids never grew up. And there were no adults anywhere, and they had no rules, and they did whatever they wanted. And then one day, one of the kids, the oldest kid in Hokey Pokey, wakes up, and he realizes it's going to be his last day there. And he doesn't understand why. And I get chills even as I talk about it, because the book is so powerful and heart-wrenching as a fable about what it means to leave childhood and how much you yearn for that and how much it breaks your heart. And to me, when I read that book, it was such a joy, because it's one thing to be an author who early in your career wrote an amazing book, but a guy like Jerry Spinelli, who, you know, 20 years later has proven he can kind of change all the rules once again, that really blows my mind.
We've been talking with Jonathan Auxier, a Pittsburgh-based writer of children's books. The book that he has out is called Peter Nimble and the Fantastic Eyes, and another soon to be coming out, it's called The Night Gardener, and that will be out soon.
Yes, this May.
All right, great. Jonathan, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Great, thank you.
And thank you. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you tomorrow with another edition of Essential Pittsburgh.